I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good evening. Welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. We are anxiously awaiting the start of free agency, but the Raiders, ironically, have more holes to fit, or to fill, I should say, than free agency will actually fill alone. To discuss these, you know him, he breaks down film and has one of the stronger and better opinions regarding his team. Ryan Holmes, good evening, my man.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. Anytime. You know the door is always open. We need to kind of get into the offensive line stuff, and I kind of broke it down into three categories. Well, three players. The Trent Brown trade. Now, when you heard it, were you surprised, or were you thinking this would possibly be what would happen?
I was surprised. I thought when they announced Gabe Jackson was going to be released that they'd find a way to keep Trent in the fold. It's really hard to replace offensive tackles, especially with not having much out there on the market at the time they made the move. The surprising part was how little they got back for him. I know he was injured and he's missed a lot of games the last 2 years, but he was a Pro Bowler just last season, and they traded him away for essentially a fifth-round pick, which means there wasn't a lot of interest on the market at its current value of $14 million. With the way the Raiders have opened up close to $50 million in cap room now, once they do something with Mariota, they had plenty of room to keep Trent Brown. So it's an indication that John Gruden was ready to move on just because he wasn't available to play and he had a lot of injuries. But I was surprised that they only got back a fifth-round pick and decided to make that move.
The low return caught my interest because, like you said, when he's right, healthy, Trent Brown's a dominant right tackle, one of the best right tackles in the league. His issue, like I said, he beyond his control, the not being healthy, it's just one of those things that you can't control. And why does it always seem like the Patriots fleece the Raiders when it comes to draft picks?
I don't know, they got Randy Moss for a fourth rounder. I think this speaks more to stuff that goes on at the facility in the off season, his work ethic. He's had issues in San Francisco. Obviously, New England decided to move on from him after 1 year. We kind of saw him in Hard Knocks, kind of in the background, eating his candy. He shows up out of shape again. He gets hurt. So I don't think they questioned the player. I think it was more how dedicated he is to the craft and how willing he was going to work and put that stuff in and move on. He's trying to do it through Instagram videos and showing that he's working out now, but I think Gruden and the front office just had a bad taste in their mouth. And Belichick's right there to swoop in and find that value. And the best part about the trade is they got it down to a one-year deal. He goes to New England, and he performs, and he's a free agent, and he leaves. They're probably getting a third-round pick back as a compensatory pick. So they're gonna win in the long run. They're going to get 1 year of Trent Brown, and worst-case scenario, that fifth-rounder becomes a third-rounder.
So basically, at what point do we look at you can't even say Mayock, because we know who runs this team. At what point do we keep looking at John Gruden and these free agent deals and just shake our heads? He doesn't seem like he has a concrete understanding or a clue of how this works.
Yeah, I don't know what the long-term plan was, because when he traded away Khalil Mack, all he talked about was how he was able to bring in Trent Brown, Tyra Lance, LaMarcus Joyner, with that salary cap money, and they're all gone. But 2 years later, I think he'd rather have Khalil Mack on this team with that cap space than the three guys that they've already jettisoned out of town. So I don't have a ton of confidence that they're going to go out there and find three or four impact players to fill the spots of the guys they've released. And at this point, you're just hoping they hit on a couple draft picks, some of the younger guys develop, and they're able to bring in, you know, some solid starters. But I don't think they're going to go out there and make a giant splash and bring in three or four impact guys with the $50 million in cap space they're going to have.
Now, do you currently see anyone on the roster as a younger developmental player or even a veteran who could possibly slide in and start? Or would you be like, no, we need to fix this if you're the Raiders?
Well, if we're talking about the offensive line, obviously, I think Colton Miller has cemented himself as a left tackle. I do not trust Brandon Parker to step in at right tackle. I would say they need two tackles at this point. You need to bring in a starting right tackle and a guy to compete with Parker for the swing job. Inside, I would say, you know, John Simpson did play pretty well the last two games when he was forced into action, and I think he's someone that can develop. And kind of, you know, I wouldn't put it past Andre James. He played well at center when Rodney Hudson was hurt 2 years ago, so I think he's a guy that's versatile. He's a backup on the inside. I could see him fighting for some playing time. And I expect Incognito back on the roster as well.
When we come back from break, I want to jump in and deal with the guard situation. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, we were talking a little bit about Richie Incognito before the break, and you mentioned how you expect him back. How much of a salary reduction do you envision for him?
My belief is you're going to see him somewhere in the $2 to $2.5 million base salary, and then probably with the opportunity to earn back the additional $2.5 million that he walked over, or they released him. So, an incentive and playing time. So, I think he'll have the chance to earn $5 to $6 million on a contract for 1 year. But you're probably going to see most of that in incentives just based on his health and where he's at and his age. You know, he's 38, 39 years old. But they definitely need to draft a young guy. I think they need to draft another guy to come in on the interior. I would fill the right tackle spot in free agency, and then I would draft another interior guy, you know, second, third, fourth round.
Now, with Incognito, he's inching towards 40. In this type of injury, how much do you think he has left? Do you think he can get through another season?
Well, now we're talking 17 games. I don't think they can count on him for 17. I think they can count on him for somewhere in the 10, 11 games, and then hopefully you have guys that can step in and fill in for 4, 5, 6 games if need be, whether that's John Simpson or Andre James or a draft pick. But they definitely need to add depth on the interior, because you can't count on a guy at that age coming off an Achilles injury to play 17 games.
Now, on the other side of Rodney Hudson is Gabe Jackson. He, you know, you had mentioned that you thought that he would be going anyway. Do you think that this will, with the Raiders freeing up money, that they will throw a reasonable deal at Denzel Good?
I do. I expect them to make a play at Denzel Good. We just saw Feliciano, I want to say, what was it, 3 years, $17 million, something like that, that he came in a little over $5 million a year. I think if you could get Denzel Good back at, you know, $4.5 to $5 million a year, a 3-year, $15 million deal, I think that's definitely worth it. We've always talked about that, somewhere in the $5 million range, about half of what was due Gabe Jackson for very similar production. So at this point, if they bring back Good and you bring back Incognito and then you still have Simpson, and then you're really only looking to have to fill the right tackle spot and the swing tackle spot. So I think that there is a plan in place. I don't think that they would have moved on from Jackson and Brown without knowing that they have a good chance to bring back Good and Incognito, because that would open up three holes on the offensive line.
With Jackson, that leaves Derek Carr as the last Reggie McKenzie draft pick. Looking back in hindsight, paying Jackson, paying Carr, ultimately led to Khalil Mack in Chicago. If you are Reggie McKenzie right now in Miami, do you think that thought crossed his mind, and do you think he would do it again?
Well, the interesting thing is neither one of those guys, Carr or Jackson, was a first-round pick. So they were on four-year deals, whereas Khalil Mack had the fifth-year option. I think Reggie just believed, well, I'm going to have the fifth-year option. I can pick that up. I'm going to have Khalil Mack under contract, so let me lock up these other two guys. In hindsight, you never pay an offensive guard before you pay a Pro Bowl defensive end. And they probably should have gone that route. I'll give some of this blame to Gruden. Gruden's the one that came in. They could have signed him if they wanted to. Gruden decided to move on from him. Whether you believe the stories that Khalil Mack wasn't answering calls, didn't want to be here, it's clear at this point that Gruden didn't really want him here either. He didn't want to commit the money to him. And then you saw him move on from Cooper as well. So we're going to give some of this blame, obviously, to Reggie McKenzie for not locking him up after his third year and allowing him to get to that point. But just as much blame needs to go to John Gruden for actually pulling the trigger on the trade.
Now, with that, when we return from break, I want to talk about possible fixes and draft and free agents that would possibly be able to slip into these roles, especially at right tackle. That's a area of concern for me. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FBC Radio Network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, with the Raiders sitting 17th, are there any tackles that you think that would possibly fill that right tackle need, or should they wait a little later in the draft for it?
I think you're going to have three or four guys staring you right in the face. They could take Vera Tucker out of USC, who has the ability to kick inside and play outside. Left tackle and right tackle. You have Darashaw from Virginia Tech who could come in and play right tackle. You have Tevin Jenkins, who might be my favorite guy to come in, pretty nasty right tackle run blocker that could come in. He'll be on the board at 17. So I think they're going to have options there in the draft, definitely. And then in free agency, there's a plenty of options out there, too. I don't think that Trent Williams is coming over to play right tackle. Darrell Williams is off the market. Maybe one of the Kansas City guys. Maybe you go after Mitchell Schwartz. He's had some injury history. He's a bit older, but if you could get him in there and get him to play, you know, 8 to 10 games, and then you have a first-round pick behind him developing, whether it's one of the three guys that we just mentioned, that would be ideal, and that gets Brandon Parker off the roster, too, and gives you a little bit of depth there. Eric Fisher could be a possibility. He just got let go. Riley Reiff's a possibility. Alejandro Villanueva, if he wants to come over from the Steelers, Matt Filer. So there are some options. I was surprised that Darrell Williams took the deal he did and didn't test the market. I thought he'd get a much bigger deal than what he signed with to go back to Buffalo, but maybe he wanted to stay in Buffalo and stay with Josh Allen.
I think he sees that, you know, the Bills built it right. I mean, they constructed that team perfectly. Now, with the state of flux that's happening on the offensive line, do you think this buys Derek Carr yet another year of excuses?
I'm going to say yes. And unfortunately, I don't want to say yes, but if he struggles at all this year, the immediate blame is going to go to, one, the offensive line, if they don't hold up, and then two, if Nelson Aguilar doesn't come back, we're going to hear that. At this point, we're talking year eight. I'm over excuses. I don't care if he has an XFL line in front of him. He's got to get the protections right. He's got to make the reads. He's got to get rid of the ball. And at this point, I hope the Raiders don't extend him. Let him play out the last 2 years on this deal. It's cap-friendly for the Raiders. You hear people talking about, you know, extending him in the $30 to $35 million range. That would be a huge mistake, in my opinion. I think he needs to go out there and get this team to the playoffs and compete in the playoffs to sign him up long-term after this and commit to him for anything more than the 2 years he has left on his deal.
Now, there have been people, pundits, analysts, whatever, they swear up and down that Richard Sherman is going to end up in Las Vegas. Explain why this would be a catastrophically bad idea.
I would be against that. At his age, he's going to come in. You hear some people say, well, free safety. Well, he's never played free safety, and he doesn't have the speed in a cover three to be able to do that. Yeah, he's going to put himself in the right position based on instincts and knowing how to play the defense versus different sets. But I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't do it at the risk of losing developmental time for Arnett and Mullen. If you're going to go out and get a corner, I'd much rather have Casey Hayward, who was in this system for the last 3 or 4 years. He's made a couple of Pro Bowls. He was an All-Pro recently, and he's younger. And he has the ability, I think, within the division. He knows the opponents. And for me, Richard Sherman, good player, love the character, love the leadership, but I just don't know what he has left. He's been hurt a little bit the last 2 years, and I don't know how much he's going to want to be in that locker room on that defense and have to be the main guy. I don't see the fit with Richard Sherman in this defense.
Like, he was, when he entered the league, he didn't have speed, time, age, undefeated. He has less now. And I worry about that, even, like I said, at free safety, where people are trying to draw the comparison of Troy Vincent when he switched from corner to safety with, I want to say it was the Washington football team. And it's not the same because Troy Vincent had speed. Richard Sherman I just don't see it. Now,
I mean, the other side, too, is you're in a division where Tyreek Hill, Mekhi Hardman, Jerry Jeudy, K.J. Hamler,
Mike Williams.
Sutton, Mike Williams. Like, most of those guys are speed guys. You know, Sherman's going to match up with some of the bigger guys, but that's what you have Mullen for. Mullen's there to match up with the bigger guys, the 6'3", 6'4", guys in the other team. So his play style, to me, is too similar to what Mullen's going to offer you to have both those guys on the field at the same time. Who's going to cover the speed receivers? That would be my concern, too.
That's the tough part because Sherman's better days are behind him, and I just kind of grew tired of the Leon Hall types or just the veterans.
I forgot he was even a Raider.
For a minute, right? Up. Somebody also mentioned Xavier Rhodes. No, just no. Xavier Rhodes, no, just
I thought you were going to go Ron Bartel or Shante Spencer. Reggie McKenzie brought in.
Yes, like the slowest defensive back from the history of defensive backfield. They need a free safety. Speaking of, John Johnson, right there. He's right there. John Johnson is right there. Do you think that the Raiders make a deal with him, or do you think he priced himself out of their reach?
Well, I don't think you can price yourself out of the reach right now. They're going to have close to $50 million, and they're going to be in the top five in the league in salary cap space. And you can work a contract to fit it in any way you want. I'm a little hesitant there. It's not the Rams connection. I have no problem that he played for the Rams. He's played in a lot of two high systems. He hasn't played a lot of single high. Now, obviously, there's some in the media reporting that he can do it. We just haven't seen it. I'd much rather take a shot at a guy who's played a lot of single high, like Marcus Williams from the Saints, to do that. Even, you know, Anthony Harris, a lot of two high there in Minnesota, but at least he's played a lot of free safety. John Johnson was playing strong safety for the most part with the Rams. But having said that, you know, his grades are very good according to PFF, how much weight you want to put into that in both coverage, tackling, zone man. So he seems to be a pretty good player. I haven't seen enough of him in single high where I'm ready to go, yep, 4 years, $50 million, $20 million guaranteed, go get him. But I'd love to have him on the team for the right price, but I think I would go another direction first.
Also, you have people are anticipating the Raiders signing Melvin Ingram. Now, he fits what Gus Bradley wants. He fits a need. On a personal level, I'm kind of, you know, I'm still hoping that Aziz Ojulari finds himself in Vegas, but with no tackles and, I mean, no or a few offensive linemen in Melvin Ingram lurking, doesn't look good for our guy Aziz. Do you think that Ingram gets to Vegas?
Yeah, if I'm in Vegas, the odds are heavily favored that he's going to end up with the Raiders just because of the scheme fit. The obvious, he's going to come in and play. He's going to start. He's not battling anyone for that position, I don't think, at this point. It pushes Crosby into a spot where he can rotate as the third guy or you can play them all equally. You can kick either Ingram or Farrell inside. Yeah, he's a great fit for what the Raiders need. Is the injuries the last season? Maybe. That is a concern. But for the 3 or 4 years before that, he didn't miss many games. And I think you can get him in there. There's going to be guys on the market. I don't think you're going to have to overpay to get him. I think somewhere in a 2 or 3 year deal, somewhere in the $6 to $7 million a year. Like you want to go three years, $21 million. I've got no problem with that. You're basically giving him Carl Nassib's contract. So, I mean, if they're willing to pay Nassib what they paid him, 3 years, $25, $26 million with $7 million guaranteed, why not give that to Ingram?
You know, there's also mention of the Raiders were looking to ink a deal with Brandon Morrow. Nicholas Morrow.
Nicholas Morrow.
Brandon Morrow's a hockey player. Nicholas Morrow, do you think that he should come back? Or do you think that the Raiders, they have picks, maybe they should invest elsewhere?
I've been saying this the whole time. I don't think he'll be back. You know, obviously, Vinny, with the Las Vegas Journal Review, thinks he's going to be back 3 years. I think, or 2 years, $6 million. If it's $3 million a year, basically was paid last year, sure. Bring him back. That, you know, he can be a special teams guy. He can fill in for guys that are hurt. But I'm not giving him, you know, starter money at that point. You just restructured Kwiatkowski and Littleton. Those guys are going to be on the field. Raiders are going to be a nickel a lot. Morrow does not give you anything, obviously, as a pass rusher, as a sub guy. So he's not going to put his hand in the ground and get after people. Neither is Littleton or Kwiatkowski. So you have two guys that can play in the nickel. I think Javon White, you develop – Morrow, I think they have just as good a chance to develop Javon White in this system where he can run sideline to sideline. He's a former safety. If you're not asking him to get in the box and play run defense and you're just putting him in passing situations and using him as a blitzer, I think that he can do that. I don't think they need to spend any more money, on a linebacker who's not going to fit because Morrow is going to play the same position that Littleton is, the will linebacker in this defense.
And that's the tough part. When I look at Nicholas Morrow, the frustration part is he's a converted safety. He has decent speed, but yet that doesn't translate to impact plays. Is that more of a feel for the game or just it doesn't translate for him?
I think it could be more Paul Gunther scheme more than anything with the linebackers that have struggled there. With Morrow, you know, I know Raider fans think, oh, he's a homegrown guy, he's an undrafted free agent, he's developed, they like him. I've seen some people throwing around Matt Milano's contract, like, oh, that's perfect for him, 4 years, $44 million or whatever. I'm like, no way, way too high. Like, that is crazy talk that I've seen floating around on the Twitterverse the last couple of days. But I'd pay him somewhere in the range of, like Vinny said, 2 years, $6 million, $3 million a year, special teams guy, depth starter, you know, good backup if a guy gets hurt. And bring him in, but I have a feeling that, Gus Bradley has got an idea. The Chargers' basic entire starting defense are free agents now. They've released everybody besides Bosa. Linville Joseph is out there. Hayward's out there. Mike Davis, Jenkins, Perryman. The Raiders can go get anyone they want that was in that Chargers defense and just plug them in. And they know the system. They don't have to worry about it.
And I'm excited about the prospects, but I also know that I don't trust John Gruden to do anything that I would consider long-term smart. So it's more of a touch and go, see how it goes. But if anyone wanted to interact with you on social media, how would they?
They can find me on Twitter. The handle is at rholm22. It's RHOLM22. Shoot me a DM. Shoot me a message. You can at me. I'll answer any questions you guys want.
He is one of the best out there, Ryan Holmes. Thank you so much for joining us on the Full Press Raiders podcast.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.